This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let's welcome in everybody's favorite and, my partner in crime. We have found something to laugh at in here if Blues fans are struggling to laugh. After the weekend we had, let's welcome in Jamie Rivers. What's going on, bud?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Nothing. You were educating me on what do you call those things? Emojis?
Emojis, yes.
Your favorites, and no surprise, Jamie's got some dandies, and I learned a little bit this morning about how it works. But so, yes, that is what we found in common to laugh about this morning. There's nothing, no joy in St. Louis today.
It's not the end of the world.
One point out of four.
You know what? I just about wrote this on Twitter yesterday. It was like, I can't imagine all the emergency rooms all over St. Louis that are treating broken ankles and broken legs for people jumping off the bandwagon so fast.
I don't know if people are jumping off the bandwagon.
Listen, what bugs me is it's like 2 days ago, it's like, oh my God, we have them like up on this pedestal. It's, and then they lose one in overtime, which is not a bad loss, and then they lose one, a bad loss, in Phoenix or in Arizona, and now everybody's, oh, my God, it's over. Like, it's like, come on, man. Just stick with the guys. Give them a chance.
They still control their
own
destiny.
They've lost one in a row in regulation.
They still control their own destiny.
They do. And now what sucks about it is they have all these injuries, right? And I know we're going to go over that long list of injuries.
And it is long and distinguished.
But this is why you have a minor league system. This is why you have a scouting staff. Like, half of the time, you don't get to the players that are this deep in your roster or in your bullpen, so to say. So, you know, at this time for those guys to step up and show their value, show the team that they deserve these contracts, that they deserve a shot in the future.
You know, to your point, it's got to, like, make fans uneasy. Like, when you have such an important game, it's one thing to lose. Like, the Las Vegas thing kind of stunk, but you thought, okay, let's come back tomorrow. Let's get 2 points. Let's get the hell out of here. We'll go home. We'll finish the job. To quote-unquote lay an egg, so to speak, it's kind of like they may or may not, if you want to use this term, become unraveled. But is that just – that seemed to me almost like a game where, like, everything's so tense and it's just kind of – it does come unraveled. Some things didn't go
well. What game?
The game against Arizona.
Arizona, yeah. Well, yeah, look, you're bound to have a flop at some point. And they had strung together so many good games, and they weren't easy games, right? Like, we talked about it last week that I think only one game was more than a goal separation on it. So those aren't easy games, and it taxes you. And let's be honest, they went out to Vegas, and a day before, you have to. NHL rules. I don't think it mandates it, but pretty darn close that you go out the night before. I don't know if anybody went out. I know there's a whole slew of Blues fans that were out there.
There were a bunch. I know a whole bunch of them.
You know, let's just say maybe they had an extra beer or an extra glass of vino at dinner the night before. Let's just say that. So then they go out and they play a good game, a hard game. That's a good Vegas team. Like, that's a hell of a hockey club. They take them to overtime. Give up the one in overtime. Not thrilled about it for sure. However, they get the point. You go on. What happens is this catches up to you just a little bit. Back to back, the travel, The Vegas thing, I don't know if it's, there's an asterisk there because it was Vegas. You go into Arizona, a team that we've been talking about for weeks now, about how well they're playing in the last quarter of the season. They're night and day from what they were at the start of the season. That's a good, young, fast hockey club. And guess what? Their goalie stood on his freaking head.
Yeah.
If he doesn't stand on his head early in that game, it's a different story. So, yeah, I take that game there. It's actually perfect. When you get blown out so freaking bad, it's great because the coach takes the whole report, crumples it up, and throws it in the trash. Says, okay, that one there, that's our throwaway. Let's talk about Vegas. Where did the wheels fall off in Vegas? Where do we give up? Because the Arizona game to me is irrelevant at this point. That's the way I'm airing on. And let's go back to Vegas again.
Yeah.
Our buddy Chris Thorburn.
Yeah.
We talked about him last week.
Unreal.
I said it's no coincidence, and you agreed, and we all kind of agreed, and Kimby said it for a while. No coincidence that this team has been successful since the calling out of the players, since Mike Yost said, screw it, I'm not sending this guy to the minors. We're going to keep him around. And he's been in the lineup every game since, and he's gotten better every single game. Puts in a game-tying goal, which he was elated about because he was so happy to be able to contribute
sure.
in a different way.
Right.
And then the next game, Scotty Upshaw gets his kidney lacerated because he gets run over by Luke Shen, Braden Shen's brother. And who steps in and beats the bag out of him? Chris Thorburn comes straight across and beats the bag out of him. And you thought, you know what, goddammit, this guy here, he's a keeper.
Yeah.
And I think Blues fans are finally starting to turn the corner. Not that he's better than Ryan Reeves at all. He's different, but they're starting to love him for what he can bring to the table.
I will say this. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let the fans speak. I think the main concern from Saturday – and again, that's why we have you here, for a variety of reasons why we have you here. But, he's lost Allen now.
No, bullshit. He went over and talked to him. I don't know what he said exactly. I'm sure if we went prying, I could find out exactly. However, he went over to let him know, take the weight off your shoulders here. Probably to the effect, and I don't know, but if I was a coach at that point, I'd be like, we're dog shit right now. And this isn't going to help you, and I need you for the next stretch of games. I need you to be back on track next game. So Hutsy needs to get some net time. Right now it's a 2-0 game. It's still salvageable if these guys can take this momentum from me pulling you and win a hockey game. If not, don't worry about it. Get some rest. Because I think Mike Yeo could see the wheels slowly one at a time falling off in that game.
Yeah.
And so I think it's the Jake Allen. He hasn't lost Jake Allen. Jake Allen, if holy shit, Crumbs, think about it for a second. If you're going to lose Jake Allen, wouldn't you have lost him last year when you sent him home to rethink himself? Wouldn't you have lost him this year when you benched him or didn't play him for 10 games or so? Come on.
Well,
one pull after two goals is not going to lose him.
Well, I think the big thing came. I guess he wasn't happy.
I wouldn't be either.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's why he's in the NHL.
Yeah, who's happy about getting yanked? I don't expect it.
He wasn't happy.
The problem would be if he was okay with it. Wouldn't that be the problem?
If he was happy to get out of there and be like, woo, then I don't want that guy on my team. But no, you know what? He wanted to stay in there. He wanted to contribute. He wanted to finish out the game. There is no issue at all there. That's a non-issue. That's why I said that whole game literally gets crumpled up and thrown in a trash can.
Yeah, and again, that's why it's great to hear from you. You've been on the bench in great times, bad times, numerous times of adversity. I mean, all the way across the board. It's not always pretty. And you guys truly are like a family. Things don't always go well within your family, right? I mean, why do we expect just because you guys are professional athletes, things are perfect all the time? They're just not. It's like getting punched in the face. You have no idea what happens till you get popped.
This is true, and sometimes you get popped hard.
They got popped hard, but the thing is, and I said it at the beginning of the show, they do truly control their own destiny for a variety of reasons. Number one, they're only a point out, and they have a game in hand. So it's very simple. You win that game in hand, you're back in there. The team that is directly in front of them in the Colorado Avalanche, they play the last game of the season. So, really, they can take care of this on their own with no help, to be quite frank. Now, some help would be appreciated.
Well, yeah.
As a player, though, and you did it numerous years, can you ask for anything more than to control your own destiny, though? I mean, that really at the end, when you're not looking at it going, look, we can win every game and we still need help, that sucks. But in this one, if you win all four games, you're in.
Yeah, obviously. We've touched on this before, but certainly, you want to control your own destiny. That means that, you know, you don't have to rely on other teams. You're not scoreboard watching. You don't have the stress of doing all that crap. So, yeah, look, the Arizona game sucks because it was an opportunity for them to get points that they needed. However, it wasn't a must win. The next game that they play, their makeup game, I call it, that's a must win because that'll bring them back to even on games remaining. So, you know, the Washington Capitals, who just clinched their division, who are, you know, clinched a playoff berth. They've got everything. They've got really nothing left to play for. They're coming in here tomorrow night. What lineup will we see? Will we see a team that's continuing to go for it? Will we see a team that's going to rest some players? I don't know. But right now, the Blues can't be focused on that. The Blues got to be focused on coming out hard in the first period. And, oh, yeah, tonight. That's right.
I'm just making sure you know. I know you. You may think it's Sunday for all I know.
It's not?
No, it's
okay,
Monday.
Sorry. But I just meant, yeah, I just was listening to radio on the way in, too, talking about the Blues game tonight. Anyways, bottom line is they've got to come out and focus on winning the hockey game tonight. They win the hockey game tonight, brings them back to even on games, and puts them back into the first wild card spot, I believe.
Yeah. And then the Avalanche actually will play tonight against L.A.
Oh, well,
which
then
we
they
could,
still keep that game.
Yeah, they still keep the game.
But they got to win it.
Well, they do have to win it. And, you know, hey, for the first time in a long time, we'll be rooting for the Kings, I'm sure. That's
so
an interesting game because of the way the standings are. That, you know, if you look at it, and, you know, I you know, you never know for sure how this thing's going to work out. But we're chasing both L.A. and Colorado. L.A. and Colorado play each other tonight. We need to take care of our business. You know, that's one of those games, that L.A.-Colorado game screams, you know, everybody, each team gets 1 point and somebody gets two. And that's,
well, that's
just the way
kicker,
this system
right? Like
is.
Like the Anaheim with Colorado yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? They go out there and everybody gets a point and then the winner gets two. It's a kick in the nuts is what it is. And that's why, in my opinion, the league has to change the format just a little bit.
I think a lot of people liked your suggestion. We had a lot of
comments.
Well,
they should. It was genius.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's be honest. There's a reason the European
Are you up for commissioner?
I mean, oh my,
you'd be a good commissioner.
I would be good. I don't think they'd like me, though.
Why is that?
Because I tend to be a little too straightforward sometimes.
We need that, though.
Yeah, but I don't think they want that sometimes in front of the cameras, maybe.
You know, I will say this. On that note, I have to ask you this question. It's completely off topic of the Blues playoff push.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Why is it, and fans feel this way, you get these guys in that disciplinary role with the NHL, and they were all guys that played the hell out of the game, and they get in there, and they completely, they don't rule it the way you think they would based on who they were. Is it because they get in there, and somebody gives them the old corporate speech of, I know this is what you think, but let me explain to you why it is this way, and they sit there and go, huh, okay. Or is it simple? I mean, I hate to say this, but do they become yes men?
No. What happens is, well, it's a combination of everything. What happens is you get in there, and you can't just have a new entity come in there and totally change everything, right? Because then what you did before or how you ruled before looks like it was a joke or wrong or inconsistent, whatever you want to call what they did before. So you have to educate the new guy on, here's how we have called it. Here is why we've called it. Here are the situations. I mean, George Perreault's probably had a month's worth of research to watch videos and how they were ruled upon and the different people from Brendan Shanahan to Stephane Quentin to, you know, whomever before that, Colin Campbell, to see how they ruled it and then what the parallels were between their rulings and what some of the consistencies were. And then George Perreault gets to add his own little flavor to it. But you got to be careful, right? Because you go in there as a player like George Perreault was, who everybody thinks, well, he's just going to come in and suspend nobody. He loves this shit.
Yeah,
right?
That's what
Wrong. Reason being is because just like you mentioned, everybody would expect him to come in and be that way, right? So you cannot just go in there and be like, oh, yeah, I'm this great big tough guy who's going to let everybody murder each other now. You got to come in, and sometimes you go to the extreme in the opposite direction, meaning you'll suspend guys or fine guys for less the obvious things because you want to, you know, dispel that theory that, oh, this former tough guy's going to let everything go. So he's got to be a little bit more the other way. And I think, you know, still his first year, he's still figuring things out. I think that in the next season, hockey season, he'll figure out what he really is as a disciplinarian. But there's so many things, so many factors that come into it, so much pressure. And the media puts a lot of pressure on guys, and I think it's a tough job. It's a thankless job because no matter what, it's like a referee. nobody's ever happy with the referee.
No.
And so the same thing with the disciplinarian. Nobody's ever happy with that. Because if he gives too many games, then the one team's not happy. If he gives not enough games, then the other team's not happy. So it's just like you do what you can, and I think you just got to just walk away from it after that.
Well, it's time now to go on the bench with Butter. Again, our good friend Tommy Brown from the McHenry Bearcat University hockey team. And go ahead and give that a – go ahead. Give it a pop. Pop a top. I think everyone should know, too, your allegiance. You've went over you gave Red Bull a shot.
I did. Nobody ever called me.
Nobody
nothing.
Ever called you. So now Monster, you're on to Monster.
I'm on to Monster.
I know a few people at Monster.
Yeah, they got this new Hydro Mean Green. Guy sent me a few of these. I tried these out. Get rid of that garbage Red Bull. I don't know what he meant by that, but
well, and I was trying to, and I said it comes in a clear can.
Ooh,
and
it's good.
And it's green. It looks like your urine from your samples when you were playing.
Yeah, damn. If my urine tastes like that, I'd have had more of it.
Oh, gee, Merry Christmas. Sounds like that. That was on this weekend. Dodgeball.
Dodgeball.
And I drink my own urine because I like it, and it tastes
good. God. But, speaking of dodgeball,
yeah,
our buddy Scotty Upshaw looks like he might have been hit by a wrench.
Then that's kind of where I'm going. So as we go on the bench with Butter, don't forget Tommy Brown. It is tax season. That's Tommy Brown. EA.com, Tommy Brown Tax
Tommy
Planning.
Tommy Brown, we talked about this last week. You weren't in here, Kimby and I, and we rattled off about four or five stage names for Tommy Brown.
What do you got?
Well, we had Tommy Brown, tax attorney, on the bench of Butter, downtown Tommy Brown. I said, he's a guy who has more names than a stripper does.
That, you know, that was my favorite part of Rocky was Apollo Creed had about eight. The Count of Monte Fisto, the Master of Disaster. Those are good. Tommy should take those and do a commercial.
Tommy should. I think he should do something. I mean, he's T-Brown. Got all the makings of being something real big.
Those guys were in Vegas for that deal. They were who?
Butter?
Butter, Henson.
Oh, my God.
Henson took the whole crew out there.
Getting buttered up with Butter in Vegas.
Buttered with Butter.
Oh, my.
He's
like another one.
On a roll, because he's Butter. No
on
doubt
a roll.
About it.
Play the tables.
Well, as we go on the bench, there's some real bench work to be done here as the bench has gotten shorter. So Scotty Upshaw, who I think most fans were surprised he even came back at all. I think we were under the impression he was out for the year from the other injury he had.
Yeah.
So he comes back early, being the warrior that he is. Inspirational guy, right?
Hard worker.
Now he's out.
Now he's done. With a lacerated kidney. That's just weird. I mean, I guess it's similar to...
Well, you had a lacerated spleen, didn't you?
Yeah, my spleen basically exploded, but it had to have been lacerated or something before I compromised, let's just say that. So, I mean, I can see how it happens. I mean, that was a big hit. And if someone would have said to me that the next day it's because his spleen burst on that hit or something, I'd just be like, I get it.
Yeah.
Lacerated kidney, though, holy crap.
Yeah, you got to get caught just right.
How do you even find that?
I'm sure he was... piss and blood.
Yeah.
Be my assumption.
But I can tell you, he probably went through hell before they figured it out, because I remember going through what I had to go through before they could figure it out, and it was like, I couldn't even move anymore. The pain was so bad, and I know the doctors over here are slightly better than where I was.
Well, they didn't write him a death certificate like they did you over
this
and over.
True.
Yeah. But, so he's out. You know, I feel like Slapshot now. Dave's out. Who's in? Yeah. Who's going to take his place?
Who's going to take his place, fellas?
Schmaltz gets an opportunity. He gets hurt in the Vegas game, so now here comes Chris Butler. You know, we are the walking wounded. Who else?
Where's Soshnikov on this one here? How close is he to coming back?
I don't see his name mentioned anywhere.
If he comes back, then, you know, not that it's a wash that Upshaw is out, but he at least brings some of that fire, you know?
Yeah, I don't see anything on him. What, you know... I wonder what Blues fans are want. I mean, again, you start looking into things too much, but he plays a hard game. He's not the biggest dude in the world.
Well, he kills penalties. He's fast, well-liked.
Is this injury thing an issue for him just because he – I mean, God, how do you say a guy plays too hard? I mean,
no, I mean,
you can't really.
That's what pays his bills, right?
Yeah.
Like, if he changes that, then why would you want him? Quite honestly.
Yeah, no. But we need him. I mean, you're right. He you don't want to lose Scotty Upshaw, but he does kind of fill that void. Tage Thompson's got to be in now, right?
Yeah, Tage has to go in. I think that the only thing that would hold Tage back is if Soshnikov was healthy, which I don't think he is. So I think Thompson draws back in the lineup, and it's a good game for him to come back in. Capitals are a high-flying team out there and probably suits his style a little bit better. The only thing that sucks for Tage Thompson is, unfortunately, he doesn't fall into the Blues' top six forwards. So he doesn't get those minutes that a finesse goal scorer type guy should get, or the matchups or the line mates. So it's tough for him because he's in there. You're asking a guy to play a position or to do a role that he's not familiar with at all, probably in his entire life. So there's a learning curve to that. And hopefully gets a chance to play, maybe play at the third line, create a little bit of offense and help himself out.
Interesting. I always wonder when you can't find anything on somebody if that's good or bad. And Soshnikov, the dreaded upper body injury.
Yeah, you're not going to get more than that.
Not right now, for sure. We're not going to get any more than that from you either?
No, I have no idea. Actually, none.
I mean, a lot of times, especially now, you know, people tune in and hope to hear you slip. Like, you slip sometimes.
I have nothing on this. And, yeah, I can tell you that they have that locked down. And probably the only guys that really know what the injury is a trainer and the head coach.
And
the player doesn't even have a clue.
Doesn't know what's wrong with him.
He may not even been told exactly what's wrong so that he doesn't slip up and tell the media.
Question for you as we continue to be on the bench with Butter here. You know, I take that back. I'm going to switch it over now to the innovated heating and cooling segment because I'm hot and cold on this for the league here. How do you miss a call like that on Tarasenko? I mean, that is ridiculous. And two, how do we have – you got to help me here. How do we have replay for a centimeter of a skate being on or offside, which is not what the damn thing was designed for, number one, replay in my opinion. I don't understand. But you can't use it for something that blatant. Now, because here's my point on this, and here's where I'll go with this. This isn't a cry and boo-hoo because it happened to Tarasenko or it happened to the Blues. My point is the whole reason for replay is to what? Get something right that may or may not affect the outcome of the game, right? A four-minute power play there is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, no, I agree. Listen, here's the problem if you start to go into replay for penalties. One, it's an opinion of the official on the ice, right? It's what he saw. Now, I know you're like, well, the rules are the rules. Okay, then why are we putting the refs on the ice? Let's just have video cameras and the guy up in the booth, when there's a penalty, hit the buzzer and that's it. So then the referees union is going to have a problem with that, because so you're eliminating jobs for our guys because you're taking it out of their hands. See where I'm going with all this?
Yeah, and I don't have a problem. Listen, I'm number one, let me, for the record, baseball, hockey, doesn't matter. I'm anti-replay. I don't want it. I don't want it in any sport. I want it gone. That's number one. My problem is if you're going to have it for certain things, I think it's necessary. This is an example of something that they didn't see. So why can't you use something like that? I don't want to use it on judgment calls. This is not a judgment call. I thought he hooked him. I didn't think it. This is a very simple, the stick either hits you in the face or it does not.
If you look at the angle, okay, first of all, let me set the record straight. It's obviously a penalty. We saw the replay. Now, however, we had the ability to see the replay from the angle that the ref couldn't possibly be in, because it was literally right there at the boards was the camera. So when you watch the play develop, there's shoulder-to-shoulder contact, his helmet pops up, and then as he's falling, the stick hits him in the face. If I'm a referee and that happens in like that super, like split second, and I'm behind the play and I can't see, honestly, if I wouldn't have seen it in slow motion, I thought his visor came up and cut him open, because I'd had that happen when I had to play the damn visor over in Europe. You hit a guy and I got it cut right across the top of my nose and it blew it wide open because a stupid visor came up and cut my face open. So knowing that, I'm like, okay, well, it didn't look like he got it up. It was shoulder to shoulder. Now, as the impact continued, the stick came up, but it really wasn't noticeable from any other angle than the one that we had, which was, 6 inches away from them on the boards. So no official in their right mind probably could have made that call. They could have assumed it, but we don't want officials just assuming.
But they do it all the time.
Well, they do it all the time. Maybe this guy, you know what? He didn't want to make that call because he didn't see it. You can't just guess. Even though some guys do, I mean, we go on forever about that.
Right.
At the end of the day, they're not supposed to be guessing. Should they use replay for a penalty like that? Ugh.
I mean, there should be, like, if there's blood.
I just think you're,
you know, I mean, if there's blood or a head type
troubled
thing.
Troubled waters there.
Yeah, I mean, I
think if you start using a replay to make calls like that, then, God, you're.
Well, again, for the record, I don't want it at all.
No, I know.
I don't like it.
Since we're discussing it, I just think it's a bad idea to start going penalties with replays. I just do.
For the record, I don't want it at all. But if you're going to have it and you're going to tell me how important it is on offsides, but it's not important in that instance, I have a problem with that.
The problem is this, is even though the calls are black and white in the rule book, there's what the referee determines, right? It's his own personal opinion of what he sees. The rules for offsides and icing and all that are very black and white. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So you can use a replay for a goal. Did the puck cross the line? Well, you can tell yes or no. Was his foot over the blue line? Yes or no. With a penalty like this, was it on purpose? Was it incidental contact? Did it really hit him? We're not sure. It's very difficult to start using replay for calls like that.
Yeah, and again, I cannot reiterate this. I don't want it. I don't like it. My whole thing is, if you're going to have it, I don't understand how one's more important than the other. But it's fine. I can go either way with it. Moving on now to our InnovatedCompanies.com electric segment, the electric team.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Something has snuck up on me, and I got to ask you.
Sure.
Okay, because they're obviously electric, and it involves a former Blue, a loved player who people hated to see go and have said many times probably missing that guy on this team.
Thank you.
Jamie Rivers, number six and on your scorecard, but number one in all the ladies' hearts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as I look at the standings and I'm proving through it, looking, trying to figure out, okay, how does this work? I decide to take a quick peek at the Eastern Conference and kind of see how that's shaping up over there. Lo and behold, you know, all we talk about over there, you know, we talk about Tampa, we talk about Washington and Pittsburgh. The Boston Bruins have 110 points.
They're playing incredible.
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
I mean, that just, I mean, it obviously didn't completely come out of nowhere, but that is the quietest 110-point team I've come across.
Well, yes and no. They've been there all year long. The problem is that Tampa has more high-flying talent, right? So they're kind of the sexy choice over there. And Washington, certainly with Ovechkin and all those guys, they're talked about frequently. So Boston's been there. They've been talked about. But the thing is that gets me about the Boston Bruins is they've had so many injuries, like not just little ones, big ones. And they filled the gaps with other young players that have come in. Like, look at this Ryan Donato kid coming back from the Olympics. He goes back to Harvard, you know, all this stuff. He's got 7 points in 7 games for the Bruins, 4 goals. Like, how the hell does that happen? Every guy they put in the lineup seems to be up to the task. So they're doing a great job with their staff. Coaching, whatever they're selling over there, the players are buying it, and it's really showing on the scorecard.
You know, I got to ask you though, in the world that you live in, where you've touted a change in the point process, and we talked about it already with the Blues today, and how it affects them currently. How do you feel about this when you see this? So I'm going to read this to you, right?
Sure.
So Boston Bruins, 49 wins. Tampa Bay, 52 wins. But Boston has 12 overtime losses. It has more points. They even have a game in hand and have more points. I mean, I don't know. That screams.
Well, that's if you change the point system, right? So that's 3 wins. So that's an extra 3 points. Where would that put Tampa?
It would change things dramatically.
It would change them, right? Because they'd be getting 3 points instead of 2 for a victory.
Well, they wouldn't be getting that. Wait a minute. So how did you figure that out on the overtime loss? They get 1 and none, right?
That's right.
Versus the 3, yeah. So, yeah. They'd get what they currently have now, so you had the 3, yeah.
Yeah. I'm good like that.
You are good. I was told I was told that you were a math whiz.
No.
I was wrongly informed.
I frequently do math while I'm whizzing, but yeah. I'm not a math whiz.
All right, Rivs, got to put you on the spot here, my friend. This is we've talked about all, two of the arms of the Innovated Company team. Now we're in the construction part of this.
Yep.
You've got to construct this thing for the last week. You're piecing it together.
Ooh, yeah.
Just like our good friend Randy Green does with his company, and all good managers, all good owners find a way to get it done even in the face of adversity. Let's face it, biggest week of the season at this point. Jamie Rivers, coach, walks in the locker room, takes a look at his lineup, and he says to the team,
What, on the lineup changes?
Anything.
Or just anything?
Anything. What are you saying when you walk in that when you walk in that locker room?
Because honestly,
you got a beat up team. You got
but this
four games in 6 days.
Something. It's easy. You walk in and say, hey, guys, listen, 2 months ago, you guys were written off. Nobody expected you to even be close to this. Everybody was, you know, everybody talked about our trade at the deadline that we were, you know, that's it. We were selling pieces. We were out. We're rebuilding. We're done. We're dead. And all of a sudden, you guys here in this room, nobody else, has clawed your way back into the discussion. And now you've clawed your way all the way back to, we had one hiccup the other night. We've lost bodies, and no matter who we've put in the lineup, you guys have all stepped up. So I have no doubt in my mind, every guy who sits in this locker room can get the goddamn job done. So at this point, we're at four games left, play Washington Capitals tonight. It's time for us to send a message that we're not going quietly into the night and that we are going to get into the playoffs and screw everybody else that fucking jumped off the ship. Let's go get it done.
Man, I felt like I was in a locker room in 1980. Herb Brooks was talking.
Herb Brooks. Yeah. Why not us?
And you look at Tage Thompson and you say,
Tage, you're finally going to get your opportunity here. There's absolutely no reason for you to come out of the lineup unless you give us a reason to take you out of the lineup. You haven't scored a lot this year. It's just been what it is. It's been a learning year for you. Now's your time to go out and show us why you're a first-round pick. Show us why you're the guy we believe in.
And to Chris Butler?
Chris Butler, Buttsy, we've kept you around for 2 years on contracts, two-way contracts that are really heavy minor league contracts. We've given you money purposely because we find you valuable. We need guys like you that go down to the minors, can come up and be a healthy scratch, do whatever it takes to be around, and at that point be able to step in and play like you've never missed a shift. So now it's time for you to show everybody that you're more than just a minor league bubble guy. Time to show everybody that this is your time to shine and you can get it done.
Wow, I'm motivated. I'm ready to play.
I've heard all those speeches, by the way.
What they used to say to you, Riz.
Different points of my career, those are all the speeches that I got.
Riz, get your shit off and head upstairs.
Now get your shit off. Make sure all the guys have water and towels.
Oh, geez, Louise. Well, you know, we kind of joked a little bit at the beginning about the bandwagon getting off. Blues fans are damn loyal, and I don't think
they are, but you know what I'm saying.
I know.
You read Twitter, and you thought, everybody who posts something during or after that game against Arizona, like every one of them, you'd have thought they lost their first dog that night. Like, it was like, God, I can't take it anymore. And I had to honestly put myself on Twitter timeout because I wanted to be like firing back at everybody, like, what are you doing? Why hang your head now? First of all, you're probably all still recovering from Vegas because half the people on Twitter were at the game in Vegas. I wanted to say, just relax. It's one game.
Yeah, I'll be interested to get Butter and Coach Henson in studio Thursday.
They're not going
to
remember anything.
Yeah. Well, what happens in Vegas does stay in Vegas. Although they posted an awful lot of pictures for guys that were supposed to be concealing the evidence. But, I'm with you on tonight. Be curious to see what Washington team comes in here. Is there a natural letdown? Well, not a purposeful letdown. Is there a natural, like...
God, there's so many ways it can go. Like, you have your guys that can come in, and now there's no stress. And, you know, they're so highly talented that they try a bunch of shit, and all of a sudden it works.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. Or that they rest a few of their guys that are their top guys to make sure that they stay away from injury, because the Blues are a team that's going to be playing so hard that you're like, yeah, I don't really need to put my guys in the line of fire here. But then you have, just like we talked about, the Chris Butlers of the world, the Tage Thompsons of the world, they've been sitting around in Washington. Guess what? They're getting the tap. And guess what? They have to show that they can play now. So it's almost sometimes a bad situation, because now you're getting a team that has a bunch of young guys, or, you know, not full-timers that are in the lineup playing with fire in their bellies, rather than having the all-stars out there that maybe, who cares, you know?
Yeah. Your good friend Lou Koryk is tweeting out that Soshnikov is on the ice for today's morning skate. I don't really know what that means.
Means he's on the ice skating around.
Yeah, hopefully it means things are going well.
If he's healthy, I could see him playing in lieu of Tage Thompson.
Yeah.
Reason being, because he can fill that third, fourth line role probably more effectively than Tage can.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hate to put you on the spot here. Do you see any way, shape, or form that Coach Yo doesn't go with Allen tonight?
No, none. Especially after what I saw the other night. Like, he pulls him after two goals. He's not mad at him. He's basically telling him, we're going with you the rest of the way. And, you know, Carter Hutton, unfortunately, he wasn't razor sharp either. Like, I know the Blues weren't great, but a lot of those goals were probably saves he should have had. I really can't remember one that I thought in my head, oh, boy, that was an unbelievable goal. And rust and all this stuff, and the Blues weren't playing great, solid defensive hockey. But still, we had shots from the blue line going in, beating him five hole, and it is what it is. I'm not down on Carter Hutton right now. I guess I'm more of the people that would say Jake Allen is the guy to go for sure.
So, I mean, gosh, I look at this thing and I think, okay, if we can get in, you know, we just get in, right? They're going to have to play well to get in, as we've talked about. They control their own destiny. Looking ahead, and you know, you never, I know you probably lived in a day and age when you were playing that you've never looked past this game. Blues fans are already looking past it, though, so let's talk about
naturally.
It. Can they pose some problems?
Here's what I think right now is, if we get in the playoffs, I don't want wild card two position. Wild card two position ends up with Nashville. It's just not a great matchup. The first series, first round, they're going to have all healthy bodies, everybody ready to go. Smashville's going to be electric out of their minds. It's a real tough matchup. Now, if the Blues can slide into wild card one spot, they jump over the Pacific and they'll play Vegas right away. And although Vegas played well the other night, I still think that that's a young team as far as experience goes. That's a team that can maybe beat up on. That's a team that maybe won't be ready for playoffs. Gives us a chance. And that way there we can battle our way through that side. And then when we meet the Nashvilles or the Winnipegs, whoever comes out of that disaster, we're running into teams that maybe are depleted, maybe have injuries, maybe have guys that are not playing at 100%. That's the way I look at it.
I think, you know, there's a faction of Blues fans that also look at the experience of being in the playoffs for maybe some of the younger players. You know, again, not to put the cart before the horse here, but, you know, if the Blues are to get in, regardless of what happens, how important is it for guys like, let's say, Tage Thompson, Vince Dunn, Asashnikov, you know, these types of players, to get that taste of that intensity, what it's like to lay it on the line in a playoff atmosphere? How important is that for them?
Well, it's huge. And I remember, you know, stepping into the NHL when I was young, and you think you have it all figured out in the regular season because you've played a lot of games, you've been around, and it's, you know, you think you're used to it. It changes. It's crazy. I can't even really explain what happens, but the intensity level goes through the roof for playoffs. Guys that, you know, you didn't notice before, all of a sudden they're like most valuable player type stuff. You're seeing role players that are incredible defensively. You're seeing guys that are playing physical, sacrificing their bodies, the icing of body parts, the pain management that goes on, all this stuff. You're like, oh, my God. It's a different world. It just is. The intensity that surrounds the NHL playoffs is like no other, in my opinion. So, yes, it's very valuable for these guys to experience this early in their career.
Saw some questions from fans about a couple Blues in particular as they finish their minor league seasons. You see any way, shape, or form that a couple of these guys see some time here?
No.
Or just makes no sense at this
juncture? Makes no sense. I mean, they're going for – they've got four games left. Unless they lose three of these in a row and mathematically eliminate themselves somehow in the next little bit, then maybe you give a guy, the little complimentary one game at the end for, hey, good job down there this year. Looking forward to next year.
But you don't see it all adding them and putting them on the roster for the playoffs at all?
I'd see absolutely no point in that right now. Now, your junior players, the Kyrus and the Thomases, you know, those guys can come in on non-contracts and they can participate for per diem, basically, and be a part of it and learn and this and that. And then if they need to call upon them, they can sign them on the spot.
Right.
I believe. I could be wrong. Somebody will research that and say Rivers is full of shit, probably. But, however, there's no reason to bring anybody in right now. Like, Sammy Blais doing great. I think he's got 37 points in 37 games down in San Antonio. He's playing great. Klim Kostin, still a bit of an enigma down there. He's had a couple of, you know, spurts of good stuff and toughness and things that he can bring to the table. But not consistent enough to warrant, hey, you're coming in for the stretch type thing. Yeah. I think what you see is what you get right now.
I mean, if we sustain another injury, who's next man up in your opinion? Is it Blay?
Well, it depends on what type of player gets injured, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Like
yeah.
If you lose.
God, if they
I don't
lose.
Even want to talk about who they lose because that's just jinxing the hell
that's
out of
true
it.
Too.
So
all right, we won't even
if
go
you were to lose, you know, top six or bottom six, you would find a player and identify that role.
You'd
and,
have to at this juncture.
Yeah, yeah, you'd have to figure out who's going to occupy that.
Got to ask you this question because he's near and dear to Blues fans' hearts, whether in a positive or a negative way. I think Blues fans are – there's a little I told you so's or a little C going on with Mr. Hitchcock down in Dallas. The Stars, you know, I saw a tweet that they're the first team in the new NHL salary cap era to miss the playoffs after racking up 80 points through 66 games. And, it all –
but
know,
wait a, minute,
a 1-7-2 stretch.
On to old Hitch.
Well, I was going to ask you. Do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'll talk
did
about
the
it.
Message once again? What was the?
And no, there's nothing wrong.
And
with
I and
Hitch
I was anti
here.
That. You know that. I didn't buy that bullshit. But my point is, it just gives fuel to that fire again. That
no,
you can only push these guys so hard for so
That's
long
only,
before the message
okay,
gets old.
Here's where that gets that doesn't apply is the fact that 2 years in a row, Ken Hitchcock hasn't had a goalie. Last year, he had to battle through with Lettinen and Niemi. Who the hell's going to battle through with those guys? Like, they're evasive, right? And that's not good on a goalie scouting report, to be evasive. So those guys, they didn't help him last year. This year, they go get Ben Bishop.
Right.
Bishop's playing great. Guess what? Bishop got hurt.
Yeah.
And since he's been hurt, they've fallen. Lettinen's had a couple of games where he's been okay. But, man, it just shows you that goaltender position is so important in the NHL these days. And Hitch's message hasn't really fallen short already. I mean, come on. The guy doesn't do that much damage that quickly. He's hard on these guys. And for, you know, 80% of the season, they were playing the best rounded game they've played in 5 years. So I'm sure there's still some learning going on there from the players to what he's teaching. And certainly I can guarantee you there's – learning right now between the players and what his expectations are of the players on a daily basis. But yeah, the goaltending thing has really screwed them over 2 years in a row.
Luke Koryk, Allen off first. He is your starter tonight. So
shocker.
Look at you, Jamie.
Well, wow, come on.
I mean, trying to give you a little.
I know. I appreciate that, but I don't think anybody's surprised that Jake Allen's going tonight.
Tage Thompson on the second power play unit, so
definitely
he's going in. So, you know, again, man, it's a big week. You know, again, if you're a Blues fan and you don't love, you know, living on the edge, like, God, you got to be used to it, don't you, kind of, to some degree? I mean,
well, it's crazy, right? It's been this way for a long time, but certainly in the last handful of years where there's been such parity in the NHL where, you know, like teams used to get in the playoffs with a 500 record.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And now you're 20 games above 500, and you can't find your way into the playoffs. So, it's exciting times. It's nerve wracking. It's stressful, but it's exciting all in the same breath.
Yeah, I remember back in the day. I mean, you know, celebrating the fact that the Blues had done something like made the playoffs for so many straight years, and it was a long one. And
it was like 28
years.
Yeah,
you look at it and you go, and you think, man, that's awesome. And then all of a sudden, when you're struggling to make it, and you look across the board at all the different things that are going on. I mean, it's crazy. But you know, for that, you know, again, we get back to the whole fan thing and. I definitely don't feel that there's anything purposeful there. It's just that whole you love them so much it hurts kind of almost. But Blues fans will be out in force, I have no doubt, supporting the team this week. You know,
it better be.
We've looked at the schedule. Obviously, we've talked a little bit about really, truthfully, not knowing which Washington team's going to show up tonight. I don't think we have any doubt we know which Chicago team's going to show up. They're not going to. It being out of the playoffs is going to have zero to do
maybe
with
maybe they'll start Scott Foster.
It's going to have zero. Yeah. What a great story. I mean, as a player,
it's craziness.
I mean, is that not nutty?
It's awesome. I mean, here's the deal. I forget. I mean, 6 years ago or so when we had the Central Hockey League team in St. Charles, the Chill, and I was coach and GM there. We had an injury in the pregame skate or the stomach flu or something hit one of our guys here, our goalies, and we only had one goalie for the game. Couldn't call anybody up. It's not like they just have, like, I guess I could have went to, you know, the BHL over there and tried to find a goalie, but our equipment guy, Mark Roof, who is a trainer for the Blues way back when, his dad, Terry Roof, was the equipment manager. Anyways, Mark Roof is our equipment guy, and he used to practice back in the day when Keenan was here and Grant Fuhrer was with us, and Grant Fuhrer started like 77 games in a row. Well, Mark Roof, our assistant equipment guy at the time, would be a practice goalie because Fiercey didn't want to practice. Well, I had known this because I was on that team. So when we had a goalie go down, I said, hey, Roofer, I said, you got your gear with you? He's like, well, yeah, I always have my gear. You know, goalies say, oh, I always have my gear. It's
like
in the
your
car.
Golf clubs in your trunk.
Yeah. And so I dressed him as the backup goalie slash equipment manager that game. And lo and behold, we got ahead by like 3 goals with like a minute left. So I pulled our goalie and put him in. And because I wanted him to have a pro game played, as far as like to go on like Hockey DB. And like Mark Roof has one pro hockey game played.
That's awesome.
And so he went in. He actually had to make a save. The guy shot it from like center ice, thank God. Made the save and moved the puck along. But this whole Scott Foster thing reminds me of that in a way. Obviously, now Foster had 4 years of Western Michigan. He's been, you know, playing men's league and all this stuff. But what a feeling for that guy. And he made good saves. Like, he goes in there and you can tell he's a goalie. Like, he makes the saves. He looks like a goalie.
You know.
And then his interviews are the killer, though.
Yeah. I'm like, jeeminy Christmas.
Most goalies have good personalities, okay? They're a little bit weird on game days, a little bit out there, but their wit and, you know, the way they think and their humor is always pretty good. And so, you know, Foster's another guy that came up with some great answers, especially in the moment where he could have said anything at all, whether it be dumb or great or funny, and people still would have forgiven him even if it wasn't smart because he was so jacked up. But, damn, he'd acted like he'd been there before. That's the best part.
I was like, going, man, is this guy ever, is he going to break character here and go into the whole, man, you know what I wanted? I wanted him to go the whole boat and go, it was awesome. It was so, you know.
I would have loved to have cameras following him for the rest of the night in Chicago. Come on. If that guy had to pay for a drink that night, there's something wrong with the city of Chicago.
Man, I was looking at it going, man, I want the dude to break character so bad and just get on it. But, gosh,
he was like, I blacked out. He's like, I don't know, I put my mask on and here I'm standing right now.
I was like, dude, this guy is awesome. But that is an amazing thing. You know, you think about that, the one thing he said that I gotta ask you that I thought was interesting, he said, yeah, you know, there's been about 14 or 15 times. Typically, though, I'm just sitting upstairs.
Yeah.
So what do they do, I guess, if a goalie if the backup guy or anything even feels something, they make sure that guy's there?
On either team.
Really?
So that's what it is. They're an emergency goalie for both hockey clubs at that point. And so he's up. They usually provide the guy with season tickets. He doesn't get, like, some special seat.
Oh, okay.
He's not sitting up with the players in the press box. Trust me. He usually gets a season ticket for – you know, obviously for every game. And if the visiting team has a goalie issue or the home team, he's to go down, get dressed, and sit in the locker room. He's not even insured enough to go sit on the bench. That's why most of them, you won't see them sitting on the bench. That's why he was down in the locker room with Chicago. They're like, we don't want this guy to get hit by a puck on the bench, and now he's collecting an NHL salary, you know? So then to have this situation where he's called upon to, one, get out of his seat and go down and get dressed, and then two, go and get his stuff on, put your mask on, as they say, put your mask on. Like, I can only imagine that as he was watching that TV in the locker room and the goalie goes down, I would love to have a heart rate monitor on him at that exact moment. That would have been awesome.
Man, I just think about it and just, again, to your point, I think the whole thing that floored me the most was his interviews. Like I said, I wanted him at one time just to break character and be like, I wanted him to look
I thought it was better that he didn't.
Well,
I'm like, oh my God, this guy's awesome.
I just wanted him one time to look at one of those guys and go, what do you mean, how'd it feel? It was fucking awesome. That's what I wanted him to say.
And the world would have forgave him for it, too.
Oh my goodness. Well, I can tell you, you know, just looking at it, it was an amazing thing. I as a hockey fan, I thought it was absolutely awesome. Good for him. You know, there's no way we can talk about the experience of the, you know, the whole weekend thing without getting to our SynergyHockeySkills.com report here as we, you know, as you guys, everything you do at Synergy Hockey Skills, and of course our good friends the Nelson family with NelsonLandServices.com. Professional landscaping at reasonable prices. They're a 5-star locally rated landscaping company. If you're involved in amateur hockey and the programs over in St. Louis, you've probably ran into the Nelson family. Tremendous people. You know, they support our show, and really at the end of the day, all they're asking is for an opportunity. So make sure you check them out at NelsonLandServices.com. Again, you've probably seen their handiwork down at the Ozarks. It's tremendous. And of course, we got to see some of Jamie's handiwork on display on the ice in Arizona with Mr. Clayton Keller. So we cannot talk about that without just what an amazing run this guy, this kid's having in the NHL as a big part of the Arizona turnaround.
Yeah, you know, he's I think he's exceeded all expectations. You know, last year he got there at the end of the season, played pretty well. I think people still questioned his size and his ability to play the 80-game schedule that the NHL encompasses, or the 82-game schedule, sorry. I think they were still kind of wondering, can he continue to bring that? And he has. In fact, he hasn't even really slowed down. He had a bit of a lull in the middle of the season there, but overall he's been very consistent, and he's part of that group in Arizona that makes him dangerous now. He's part of that group that has them playing so well here through the last bit of the season. So Clayton Keller, the sky's the limit with this guy. They're surrounding him with other guys who can put the puck in the net. They're surrounding him with good, fast hockey players. Rick Tocchet is a great coach for him. He's hard on him. He's fair. He certainly encourages his creativeness. However, you know, wants him to be an all-around player as well, to be relied upon. So, he's a bright star down there in Arizona, and he, to me, he's going to be the cornerstone of that team in the future.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. We talk a lot in here and joke around a little bit about the whole proud dad thing you got going on with some of these guys. But in the end, you've done an amazing thing with a lot of talented. And again, I'm very cautious to always say this because we have so many people. I know so many people involved in it. It's guys, it's not just those elite kids that are going to get that opportunity to play at the next level. It's every kid. It's every kid that just wants to try to get better and be the best player he can be. And you do a great job of that. So hats off to you. There's a lot of great people that do a lot of great things here in town. But at the end of the day, you I've seen the pictures of the camps and how happy all those kids are. And, you know, we've talked to Coach Henson and Butter. And sometimes when you guys are on the ice, people are like, man, I'm on the ice with guys that played in the league. And they're just like you and me. So, again, tremendous on your point to you guys and everything that you do for hockey. So hats off to you guys. Before we get out of here, again, I'm sure it's a broken record for you right now in the offseason, but if you have anything for us for Synergy Hockey, leave us with it, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, if you're looking to get your young players involved into anything in the spring and summer, certainly summer camps, visit SynergyHockeySkills.com. Click on our summer camps. Go down to a rink or a time that suits you best. Click there, sign up your hockey player. Slots are going really quick. We're selling out quickly. We're taking waiting lists in some areas. So please, if you're thinking about it at all, get on there to SynergyHockeySkills.com and sign up your player today.
Great stuff, my friend. Well, this is it. It's crunch time.
That's it.
The next time we convene in studio, we will either be talking about the playoff push or playoff run that we hope to make, or we'll be reevaluating our season, where it went wrong, what we need to do, all that kind of stuff. And we'll probably take a couple of shows and just kind of go through the team and not really give them grades so much, but just take a look at you know, what Jamie Rivers would probably do in the off season, which I'm sure people are always interested is. Again, I know that people that they appreciate the most about the show is that you really keep it real and are kind of a voice for the fan as well. So looking forward to Monday. Hopefully things have improved and we are talking about playoff hockey here in St. Louis.
I sure hope so, buddy.
All right. That is the one, the only Jamie Rivers. I want to remind everybody to make sure you check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Meant multiple things you can do there. You can subscribe to the show, which is completely free. Do your shopping on Amazon. We get a very small referral for that. Doesn't cost you anything. You can also listen to the podcast through there, subscribe by email, whatever you need to do as well. Find us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us there, we're going to follow you back. We're approaching 4,000. We'd sure like to get there here with the playoff push coming. Follow us today. We'd greatly appreciate it. You can also follow us at NHL Show. Facebook's our real ass, folks. What we're going to ask from you there is to go to Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. Anybody that you know that's a Blues fan, if you'd invite them to like the page, we'd appreciate that as well. Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. Follow us there. Happy to be a part of lineupmedia.fm, the newest internet radio sensation. Yo Radio is out and ready for you to listen. The people at lineupmedia.fm take your entertainment time very seriously. Thanks to producers Andrew Allen, Brian Kroc, everything they do behind the scenes means so much to us. All of our partners, can't do the show without them. InnovativeCompanies.com, you heard us mention the different segments on the show. Of course, you have the construction team, heating and cooling, and of course the electric team. Randy Green and his wonderful daughter Stephanie, get them involved early in your process, whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial. You're going to want them to be a part of your project. It's very rare that you have that old school work ethic going on in today's society. Randy's definitely old school. If he tells you he's going to do something, he does it. Guys, get him involved early. InnovativeCompanies.com. Of course, you heard about our good friend Tommy Brown. It is tax season. TommyBrown-EA.com. He specializes in tax planning. Let your money work for you. That's TommyBrown-EA.com. Our newest friends, Adam Smokehouse. Make sure you guys check them out. They bring us the Minter Arena segment live from Minter Arena with our good friend Dennis. On the Thursday edition, of course. Don't forget SynergyHockeySkills.com. Of course, our good friends, NelsonLandServices.com. All that they do for the show is greatly appreciated. Want to thank Jamie Rivers, obviously, for making it in today. A couple of shout-outs to our social media partners. You guys probably be seeing something here from a guy that I'm enjoying getting to know better, Josh Potter, who does some writing for our friend Mick Light over at Art City. It's now Arch City Media, where we're going to ask you to go check out their Facebook page, 150,000 strong. They do so much for amateur sports here in St. Louis, let alone the pro side. Got contacted by Josh, and he's starting to do more and more stuff with Mick over there at Arch City Sports. Going to kind of shadow us a little bit. You may see an article come out soon talking a little bit about the show, talking a little bit about our co-hosts, Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball, you know, their lives in the NHL, lives after the NHL, things like that. Again, we're so excited to be a part of what Arch City Media is doing. Special thanks to St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, of course, St. Louis Blues Fans Unite, everything STL Sports. Thank you guys for all you do for us. All the wonderful Facebook groups that allow us to post in there. We All Bleed Blue, St. Louis Blues Lounge, Roundtable, Hardcore Fans, Every Blue, every, you know, all I can get. Let me tell you something. There are some tremendous Facebook groups out there. If you guys want to be part of the conversation, just find them and be a part of it. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, I leave you with a Let's Go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.